Amen. If you'd like a Bible, some people will probably hand some out. You can pop your hand in the air. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. But before we do that, why don't you turn to the person next to you? I know that's a bit awkward because you'll turn one way and another person will turn some way. So make sure you're with someone, all right? Talk to twos and threes and just for a moment. Why don't you, it's my birthday, we've already ascertained that. Why don't you just chat and say, what's the greatest birthday present you've ever received? All right? Talk to the people around you. What's the greatest birthday present you've ever received? Okay? Okay. Let me gather you back. Let's have some examples. Shout out some of the greatest birthday presents you've ever received. Trip on the Orient Express. That is great. Anyone got a rise on the trip on the Orient Express? Anyone got better? Hot air balloon. That's pretty good. Yeah?
My mother.
Yeah? Yeah? Oh, come on. It's regretted it every day since. Wonderful. I got a great birthday present this morning from Ben and Becky. Very thankful. I got the classic sermons of Billy Graham, which I'm very much looking forward to reading through. And I said to them, I might just read one this morning. I mean, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. No, you've got a great birthday present. This morning I want to talk to you about great things. I want to talk to you about the Great Commission. And I want to ask the question, what's so great about the Great Commission? What's so great about the Great Commission? Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to read from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." What's so great about this great commission? We use the word great in many different ways nowadays. So we talk mostly about things being great. And I use that word very freely. I don't know if you do as well. I think we tend to. I think we talk about things in our life and we say that they are great. And more often what we mean by that is that it's a really good thing or that it's a really cool thing. All right. So you say, I had a great day out the other day. I had a great meal. I had a great birthday. I had a great birthday present. And often what we're talking about is how good that thing was, which is a perfectly good way to use the word. But we need to recognize that the word means more than that when it's used in the context of the Great Commission. When we say that it's a great commission, we're not just complimenting Jesus. We're not saying, that's a great commission, Jesus. That was really well done, really well put, really well worded. That's not how we're using the term great. What we're saying is that this is the Great Commission. It is huge. It is expansive. It is awesome. It is life-changing. It is truly great. It is a good thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is well worded. Of course it is. But it's called the Great Commission because it is great. It is massive. It is huge. When you stand in the presence of Jesus who utters the words of the Great Commission over you, you should go, whoa, this changes something. I want you to think of the Great Commission less like the great birthday present you got one time or the great milkshake that you had last week. I want you to think of the Great Commission more like the great white shark. Okay, that's a really bad mess. That's a really bad picture. The Great Commission isn't going to kill you and eat you, but the Great Commission is, if you come face to face with the Great Commission, something should change. It should move you to action. Right? You should go, you don't see a great white shark. I'm continuing with it, even though it's awful. You don't see a great white shark and go, that's a great white shark. It's just, it's the best white shark I've seen this month. That is a great white. You go, oh, it's the great white shark. When you come face to face with the Great Commission, your life should be changed. It's not going to attack you, although it is a bit. Your life should be changed by the Great Commission. It should move you to action. Wherever you are in your Christian walk and witness today, whether you think you're on a journey towards Jesus, you're not actually a follower of Jesus Christ, or you've made that decision relatively recently and you feel like, I'm just taking the first steps in this journey, really, or you feel like, I have been at this for a very long time and I could quote the Great Commission to you by heart again and again and again. And I've heard 100 sermons on it. When you come face to face with the Great Commission this morning, it should change your life again. Because it is great. It's great for many reasons. And I simply want to go through this passage again, very simply, this morning, and see why it is so great, why it is so life-changing. I've forgotten my clicker. Can't throw it. No, go on. It's my birthday. Right. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go is the first reason that the Great Commission is so great. It's great because it completely changes our whole perspective on life. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, these are some of his last words before he ascends to be with the Father. He is resurrected. He says, all power is mine. All authority is mine. Here are my last words. Wouldn't you like to know when your last words are going to be so you can make them significant? Jesus knew these were some of his last words to his disciples. So he says, therefore, go. And what he is trying to do with them and do with us today, because this commission is for us today, is to change their perspective of life, to say, go, come out of the perspective of life that you currently have. And so many of us have, where the world revolves around us. That's the kind of culture that we live in. People come in and out of our life story as kind of supporting characters. At different times, we work toward the next plot point in our own lifetime movie. Okay, that's so often how we view our life. I'm the star of this show, whether we say it or not, and I'm moving towards my destiny, the next chapter, whatever it might be, and those around me are supporting players, and I love them very much, but we are all working towards where I am going. This is my life. This is me. And what the Great Commission does, it says to these disciples and says to us, go out of that. Come out of that story and go into a new one. Because this life isn't supposed to be your story. Paul's prayer during our time of worship was particularly pertinent to this. It's not really about us. When we gather together on a Sunday morning to worship God, what we are doing is realigning ourselves and saying, I am not the most important thing in this world. I am coming out of that attitude. I am going into the story of God. Because the story of God is the story of humanity. It started with a tree in Eden, and it will end with a tree of life in a new Eden. It started with man walking away from God, and God is now bringing people back to him through the shed blood of his Son, and it will end around a throne with all of us crying, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's the great story that is the heart of the Great Commission. And that go is a clarion call from Christ to say, lift your eyes, step out of your story, stop prioritizing yourself, and look at me. Become part of my story. Go into my kingdom and do what I have called you to do. Because God has graciously and wonderfully, in saving us, allowed us to become part of his story. Because however well we try to play the part of star in our own lifetime movie, the movie won't be that great. Many of us like to stop and think at times, what would a movie about my life really be like? Let me tell you, no one would watch it. No, I'm sorry, your movie would be brilliant. No one would watch my Lifetime movie. It wouldn't be that exciting. But when Jesus calls us out of our own story into his story, he makes us a part of the only story that truly matters. The story of God redeeming humanity to himself. He says, you are wonderful. Your gifts and your talents and your wisdom and all the things that I've given you are amazing. But they're not meant to be played in your own little individual story. Play them as part of God's church. Go into all the world. Go into all the nations and play your part in God's story. He's saying to the disciples and to us today, you know, this isn't a little praise party that you want people to come to. Because you know that's totally how the disciples were thinking at this point. Jesus has just risen from the dead. They have been validated in their belief. And so they're expecting Jesus to stay. They're hoping that Jesus will remain. And that there'll be a little praise party where they can all gather around Jesus like it always was. And everybody who's interested will come and be a part of that. The disciples will get to stay around Jesus and everybody else will come to see. But Jesus says, no, 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 that's not what this is about. He wants you to go and play your part in the story around the world. And you know, that's unfortunately so often how the church thinks as well. The church wants our religion to be this little kind of gathering point, this little praise party, this little four walls faith. I was talking recently to somebody I know from a church that was struggling, and they were saying, how do we do this kind of church thing? And I was saying, well, how do you view your role as a church? And they said to me, well, you know, I think we're just faithfully coming every Sunday morning, and we're opening the doors, and we're keeping the doors open, but the people don't want to come, and that's their choice, isn't it? And there's some truth in what he was saying, but I wanted to say back to him, the Great Commission was not something in which Christ called his disciples to make little holy huddles who have some kind of feeling that people should come to church anyway, so let's just gather and then people will come in the doors and we'll keep them open, and if people come or not, that's their choice. No, the Great Commission is a clarion call of go. Get out of your story. Get out of your walls. Gather and praise my name, but then go into what really matters. The fact that we are called to extend and expand the kingdom of God in the way that we live and in the words that we say and in the way that we act like Jesus. We all need to play our part. We all need to lift our eyes from our own story and go into the story of God. We have been saved into it. We must deeply desire that others would be saved into it as well. Therefore, go is one of the reasons that this commission is so great. Another reason that it is so great is that it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples of all nations. This is truly why the Great Commission is called great, because of its hugeness. It includes all peoples. One of the quickest growing and dangerous trends in our kind of political and geosocial culture is nationalism. And it can really creep into the church. And while not wanting to focus too much on this, and at the same time, I'm aware, being in danger of saying too little, that I don't give enough ammunition to my position, let me say this. Christ came not to make all people the same, because that's not what Christ came to do. He came because we were all equally unworthy of his love, but he came to give it and equally welcome all people into his kingdom. Not one race, not one religion, Not one color or peoples or tribe are more Christian than any other. Heaven will be the perfect realization of the doctrine of one new man in Christ, where dividing walls of hostility between all peoples are broken down, and we will live together, basking in the glory of God's grace together. Heaven will not have national borders. And while that may not be a reason to advocate such a political position here globally now, we do pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can say for sure that the redeemed people of God do not build walls or borders, but break them down in a glorious rebellion against the world that so easily builds them. We rebel against any political or religious ideology that puts one nation, one people group, one person higher than any other, and say that here in God's church, the only truly Christian nation is made up of all peoples, no matter where they reside, who claim Christ as their king. All are welcome here. If you feel that any one nation is more righteous or more Christian or more prone to be Christian, then heaven is going to be a big surprise to you. If one type of person is more up your street, you're going to find it really hard to find a street in heaven that you like living on. All nations is the cry of the Great Commission. Where do we go? Where are the people of God called to spread the gospel and spread the love of Christ? All nations, everywhere. And we can't get away with some kind of geographical trickery and say that, oh, well, you know, England didn't really even exist when this word was said in the way that it does now, so that can't be a nation that Jesus was talking about. Maybe it's only the nations. That's not what the word means. The word means all peoples, from all nations, all tribes, all tongues. This is the cry of the Great Commission. But that looks different for all people. But for all people, it starts here and now. Your all nations is on your doorstep. The people that you can reach with the love of Christ, the people that you can share the gospel with, the people who you can show Jesus to are the people in your street, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. God has put you there for them. They are your mandate. They are your great commission. That's where each and every one of us start. The nations on our doorstep. The people who don't know Jesus around you. That is the great commission to you. Do we take seriously enough the call of the Great Commission to ourselves? Or do we say back to Jesus, that's a great commission. Maybe I'll listen to it tomorrow. No, it's a great commission that changes your life today. If we really believe that Jesus did what he did and said what he did, then today our lives must be changed by the Great Commission. Today, as we go home, we must be praying and pondering and thinking, how can I share Christ with the people around me? Because that is God's commission to me, the nations around you. If we as a church reject nationalism, then we can very literally reach the nations on our doorstep. It starts with the people around us. And then, as a church, we must be those who pray for pioneers. People who say, well, I can reach the nations on my doorstep, but I feel that God is calling me to go to the nations, to go to other places, To go to places where Christ is not known, where Christ is not preached. To go to places that do not have the privilege of 10 churches in one town open every Sunday morning. There are those who will go. And each and every one of us must pray the prayer, is that me? Am I called to go to the nations? And if we feel a call, we must go to it, live in it, pray into it. And if we don't, if we pray that prayer and we feel like, no, that's not for me, I don't want to pioneer into new nations, then we must still take the Great Commission seriously and say, how do I play my part in taking the gospel to all nations? How do I support those who are pioneers? How do I support those who want to go to other nations? Am I praying for them? Am I giving them the money that they need to go? Because each and every one of us is called to all nations. It just looks different. If you feel like, no, it's not for me to go, it's for me to stay, then stay and pray and give and resource and do whatever you can to take the name of Christ to your doorstep, but also to every nation on this earth. Because that is the great commission of Christ. Why else is this great commission great? Therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We go to make disciples. Jesus told us what we were supposed to do. Why don't you turn to the person next to you again, the person you were talking to earlier about birthday presents, and have a brief conversation and ask each other, talk to one another, and answer the question, what is a disciple in this context? What does it look like to be a disciple? So draw those scintillating conversations to a close. Right. Why don't you give me some ideas? Shout them out. What does a disciple look like in this context? What is Jesus talking about? Servant. So someone who is serving Christ. Yeah, that's kind of what you mean. Servant of Christ. Great. Other things? Follower of Jesus. Somebody who's following in the footsteps of Christ, following after him. Yeah? That's all right. Here? Someone who learns. So somebody who's growing. Chris preached wonderfully last week about Thomas as an example of a disciple. So somebody who learns, somebody who grows, somebody who asks questions. Brilliant. What was this? Submission to the authority. So somebody who says, I will sit under this. I won't sit above it. I will sit under it. When I hear something that challenges me, I will let it challenge me. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, somebody who makes Jesus king of their lives, Lord of their lives. So they say, every area of my life he's king of. So he has the right to change anything about me. Yeah? Right. Anything else? Yeah. So somebody who is active in evangelism, which is a churchy word, isn't it? Active in sharing their faith. They want to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Anything else?
Did you say a faithful individual?
Faithful. That's a good word. Faithful. Somebody who remains faithful. Because in a life following Christ, loads of different things are going to come and happen to us. We're going to have joys, going to have sorrows, but a disciple remains faithful. Yeah? Perseverance. Okay? Anyone bursting?
Someone who wants to make other disciples as well. Yeah. So sharing your faith.
Yeah.
And then helping other people into the fullness of
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll say this in a second, but let me say it now as well. So if this is a role in commission, if it's to all people, then we make disciples. And then those disciples make disciples, right? So that's the commission. Disciples make disciples. Yeah? Okay? That's good. They were some great answers. You must have some brilliant Bible teachers. Wonderful, wonderful answers. Here's the answer that you didn't give, which is good. The answer that you didn't give is, it's somebody who wants put their hand up in a meeting. It's somebody who once prayed a prayer. It's somebody who once said, yeah, in this moment I will become a Christian. Now, those moments are really important. Some of you will remember that moment in your life when you decided, I want to be a Christian. And if it happened in the last kind of 50 years or so, you probably at that point prayed a prayer. Somebody prayed it with you, or you read it out of a book, and you prayed a prayer that said something like, I admit that I've sinned, I'm sorry for what I've done, now I want to follow you. That's a glorious thing. And we praise God for those moments. We celebrate them. But notice that what is not said here in the Great Commission is, therefore go and get people to put their hands up and say that they're a Christian, and then give them a little book, and then never see them again. That's not what is said here in the Great Commission. The Great Commission is not interested in hands up for Jesus. Okay? The Great Commission is interested in disciples. All those things that you just said painted the picture of somebody who is committed to following Jesus Christ, whose life is changed by the ministry of Jesus. And so this is our call, each and every one of us, to not just make people who say, yes, I believe, but people who say, my life is changed by Jesus. I am a disciple of Jesus. I am growing. I am following. I am faithful. And I am becoming more like him. This is the call of the Great Commission. He goes on to say, teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Last week really was an excellent sermon. Chris preached on Thomas and how Thomas was a great disciple because he asked questions. So if you're here this morning and you've chosen to follow Jesus Christ, please don't just consider yourself a believer. Consider yourself a disciple. How are you growing? What questions are you asking? Don't dismiss them. Don't throw them away. Grapple with them, because I promise you, none of your questions have not been asked before, and none of your questions are big enough to knock God off his perch. Ask your questions of God. Ask your questions of Scripture. Ask your questions of the church, because you will grow as a disciple as you do so. And there are things that disciples do. If we want to faithfully follow Christ, there will be patterns of discipleship in our life. Next week, we're going to start a new series together. We're calling it Next Steps, and it looks at what it means to be a disciple. What are the things that disciples do, and how do they do them? When we look at people who follow Jesus Christ, Jesus tells us, by their fruit you will know them. What are the fruit of a disciple? We'll talk about all the kind of stuff we've mentioned today. Following Jesus in how we read our Bible, how we pray, how we share the gospel, how we worship, how we celebrate, how we suffer. All these things are part of being a faithful disciple that says, in every season of life, my fruit will be the fruit of the Spirit. What will grow from me, whether I am in seasons of difficulty or seasons of joy, will be the fruit of a disciple. I will discipline myself to follow Jesus Christ. This is a challenge to us. It is great and expansive and life-changing to us, because it reminds us again that that is what we are supposed to be. Are we disciples, or are we just those who say, yeah, I'm a Christian? The Bible says a disciple will be one who runs the race with perseverance. Could we say that of our faith this morning? If we feel challenged by that, if we feel like, well, perhaps I can't, I don't know if the fruit that's growing from my life is the fruit of a disciple. The response of that is not to feel condemned, because Scripture tells us there is no condemnation in Christ, but there is conviction. And so we say, okay, what can I change in my life in order to grow to be more like Jesus? His grace is upon me. He's forgiven me for my sin. How now will I live? It's great because it calls us to be disciples. It's even greater because, as Paul said earlier, it calls us to be a disciple maker. This is a cyclical commission. So at one point you were made a disciple, and now the commission is for you. Therefore, go and make disciples. So even if we can say of ourselves, yes, no, I am a disciple, I am following Jesus, sometimes I'm better than others, but I am a disciple of Christ, are we making disciples? Do we view it as a priority in our life to go and share the gospel that people may come to Christ and to go to those who know Christ and encourage them and build them up and pray with them and read the Bible with them? How much of that is happening in our life? How much of our discipleship is together with other people and not just here on a Sunday morning because you're sitting in a chair and you're not even talking to the person next to you, but throughout the week? We can talk to people and disciple people and encourage one another and be discipled by others. How much of that kind of discipleship is happening in your life? Who are you investing your faith into? Who are you coming alongside as they run the race? Who's investing into your life? Who's helping you run yours? If you don't have a very quick answer to that question, then over these next few weeks as we talk about discipleship, what we want to be saying as a church is, let's make sure that's happening. Because if you've ever run a race, you know it's better when you have someone running next to you encouraging you. Let's make sure that's happening here at Hope Church, that we are making disciples, not just hands up for Jesus. And finally, the Great Commission is great. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It is great and awesome and inspiring because Christ is with us on this journey. It is great because Christ has set the standard for us in this journey. Christ is our pace setter. We follow after him in everything. And don't you know, can't you see that Jesus has fulfilled this commission himself? He went. Therefore go, the Father said to the Son. Go and make disciples of the earth. Go and show them what the Father looks like. And he went. He left the adoration of heaven for the agony of the cross. He came. Jesus Christ, our missionary, our pioneer, came for us. He came to all nations. He stayed in a relatively small area of this earth, but through his Spirit, he now goes to all nations and he makes disciples. We are following in Jesus' footsteps. He is our prime example of a missionary, of a fulfiller of the Great Commission. We go as he went and we go now empowered by his Spirit. And so when we talk about Jesus being our example, or even when we just speak about the scriptures and talk about running the race and being a disciple, I think it is a perfectly natural human reaction for us to say, I can't do that. That's too high a standard. That's too much to do. And Jesus knew that that would be our response. In fact, if we read on into the book of Acts, what we read is that Jesus says something very similar to this to his disciples. But before he does so, he says, don't go yet. Don't go yet. Don't go until I have sent the Spirit to help you. Because he's looking at these disciples and he knows if they go now, they might mess it up. And we might feel that way. I might mess this up. I don't know how to do this. What if I try to disciple someone and I do it wrong? What if I try to be faithful and I'm not? What if I try to share the gospel and I can't do it? This is so great a commission. How could I really fulfill it? Jesus says, because surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He has promised every one of us that he has sent his Spirit to live within us, to encourage us, to embolden us, to give us wisdom, and to give us the gifts that we need. You might be here this morning and you might think, that sounds like a great story. Sounds like a great story that I'd like to be a part of, taking the gospel to all nations, finding my place in the church. I've never felt like I've had a place. That sounds like a great story, but how could it possibly be true for me? I'm not wonderful, I'm not amazing, I'm not spectacular. Jesus would say to you, you are exactly who you need to be to fulfill the call that I have for you when I fill you with my Spirit. You can be forgiven of the things you've done wrong. You can become a child of God this morning because the Spirit will come and live in you you can take that step to pray that prayer, to put your hand up for Jesus and say, I'm going to follow you, and then start the journey of becoming a disciple, following after him. I guess most of us here this morning recognize this. We know this verse. We know it off by heart. But at times we can minimize its greatness. We cannot allow it to have the impact on our life that it needs to have. We're not too worried about going. We like our own lives, thank you. We're not that worried about the nations. Actually, when I close my door, I'm quite comfortable in my home. We're not that worried about making disciples. I'm just plodding along. I'm not disciplined. If we hear the last part of this verse, we will be empowered to do all of those things. We'll fall short, of course we will, and there's forgiveness and grace when we do. But with the Holy Spirit in us, he can empower us to live the life of a disciple who goes to all nations. Jesus said to his disciples when they were worried as he started to talk about going to the cross, he said, don't worry, I won't leave you as orphans. We're not given this commission and then abandoned to do it on our own. He sends the Spirit. And all we need do this morning is say, Father, this is a great commission. It's a great story that I want to be a part of. Now send your Spirit, please, to help me take my next steps in becoming more and more like Jesus, helping others do the same here and across the nations. Let's pray together.